This year, the way black history is taught has come under intense scrutiny. Florida banned AP Black History from high schools and set new standards for the way black history is taught, requiring teachers to present slavery as an experience that taught enslaved people important skills. Books about diversity and race have been pulled from the shelves of some libraries around the country. How do we protect the stories of black lived experience in the country amid this attempt to censor history? Well, an oral history nonprofit called The History Makers is working to do just that. And they've collected some pretty famous voices along the way, like the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
In our insulated world, we didn't miss what we never had. To reflect that there were no black policemen, no black bus drivers, no black firemen.
Actor Whoopi Goldberg.
I don't know about my legacy, but what I want people to be able to say about me is she's a fairly decent person who stood up for what she believed in. She was funny and annoying. That's my legacy. That's what I'm hoping for.
The late Congressman John Lewis.
Back in 1948, there had been something called the Journey of Reconciliation, where a group of progressive whites and blacks traveled through the South, and they were beaten and arrested. And someone was literally put on chains gang.
And a pre-presidential run, Barack Obama.
I think that most of my influences probably are not so much people that I knew personally as people whose words I've internalized.
The founder of the History Makers is Juliana Richardson, and we spoke with her in June. Juliana, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I was combing through your History Makers archive, and it just kind of blew my mind because there's so much history in there. There are thousands of people you have on the site. And while there are the stories of the celebrities like those we just heard, most of the archive is filled with stories from people that are not well known. One woman is Amazon Brooks. You interviewed her in 2004 when she was 106 years old. Here she is remembering voting over a century ago.
I can remember voting in 1919 or 20. I remember voting.
Do you remember who you voted for?
Oh, yes. Thompson was the mayor.
Yes, they called him Big Bill Thompson.
Yes, right. The race ride was under him.
She passed away 3 years after that at age 109. Why did you want to have testimonies from the people who didn't make the headlines?
Oh, it was very important that we have people who were both well-known and unsung, and that we document in a comprehensive nature the richness of the black community.
Amazon Brooks was born in the 1890s, and for some it might be hard to comprehend someone from that generation today. What do we learn from an Amazon Brooks, from African Americans of her generation or early generations?
What we really hope is that our collection is sort of a playbook of how to deal with modern day issues. For example, there was a pandemic in 1919. We just came out of a major pandemic. And so there's actually stories in the collection about that. So I think, you know, what is old and is new, and what also is new, you can learn from the old.
Yeah. And, you know, in this current moment, the sharing and educating of the African American experience is really facing a serious challenge in some areas of this country. School and college curriculums are being censored. People are being blocked from speaking or sharing their lived experiences. And books have also become weaponized. Some places are banning books under the pretense that kids aren't ready for them or that they're racist against white people. You've interviewed some of the authors or editors of these books, including Wade Hudson. And here he is talking about the censoring of books in his youth.
I read a biography of Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. And then I started to relate. And those were really the only black books in our library. Because, you know, the the school system itself was run by whites, and all the decisions about what books and what the curriculum would be was determined by whites and not by blacks. So they kept the black books out.
They kept the black books out. And now the same thing actually happened to him. The book he edited with his wife, Cheryl Willis Hudson, has been targeted for censorship or banning in states including Texas and Pennsylvania. That book is called We Rise, We Resist, We Raise Our Voices. What do you make of the current attempts to censor content like this?
I mean, what can we say about it except it's tragic, but it makes me all the more determined to do the work that we're doing. I feel that we're in a race against time. It's very interesting that he would talk about George Washington Carver, because that's the only thing as a young child that I studied, that and slavery. And so a lot of my motivation was, you know, when I found in New York Schomburg's library, all, you know, reading a whole body of history I had absolutely no knowledge about before that, that the times are no different now. And in many ways, we're, you know, looking to not only rescue the, but also preserve it so it can be taught and educate. But it's complicated. Do I think that ultimately these moves will be longstanding? I pray that they're not. And I would look at this as somewhat of a modern day McCarthy movement. It was a bad time. I hope we don't see the times like that. But this is something to be taken seriously. But we're not reacting to it because we started before that.
Mm. And in such times, I wonder if it gets more challenging for the work you do. Obviously, it's an education tool and you want to push it out there. Are you worried that the censors might come for you too? And how do you operate in such a climate when really you're collecting these important oral histories?
I'm not saying it won't happen to us. I'm hoping we don't. We haven't been caught up in the critical race theory debate or the banning of books. This is obviously my life passion. I do not want any child to feel the way I felt in my classroom when I did not have a history to call my own. I don't want that to happen to any child. Everybody needs to have a sense of their own identity and place in the American lexicon. The country will never be a melting pot unless we allow the different segments to melt together.
And I wonder, given just the depth and the diversity of your archive on the History Makers Project, if you can leave us with maybe one story from the archive that has stuck with you that you think we should know about.
Yeah, there's a woman named Rary Grist. We traveled last year to Hamburg, Germany to interview her. She is the vocalist from West Side Story. There's a place for us. So Leonard Bernstein wrote that song for her. There's a whole story that she tells because, you know, the Jets are fighting against, I can't remember the other gang in West Side Story. And they run over afterwards, she and her friends, to the Metropolitan Opera where he is sitting there. And she comes out for audition. And by the end of the audition, he's applauding. So I just think that there is so much in the archive, and I want to encourage your listeners to just take and enjoy, because there are thousands of hours, but it's very searchable. You can just type in keywords, and hopefully they will help to also educate us about other stories out there that merit our recording.
It's a very rich archive. I highly recommend people to check it out. It's the History Makers Oral Project, and we've been speaking with founder Juliana Richardson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.